Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger, who shall prepare the way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And there went out to him all the country of Judea and all the people of Jerusalem. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and had a leather girdle around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens open and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
So we hear about the Jordan River. The Jordan River is more like a creek. It's kind of narrow and shallow like this. And if you were there with me in Israel, one of the things is we go down there and here's Israel, and right on the other side is the country of Jordan, and there's tension between them. You could create an international incident just by wading across the river. Jesus comes to the Jordan. John's baptizing people there. Jesus wades into the river and is baptized. And Mark tells us that the heavens were opened. That's not really the right word. The Greek word translated open, it really means like ripped apart. And I like that. When Jesus comes, the heavens are ripped apart. You can't just, if it's open, you can close it. But if it's ripped apart, you can't close that easily. It's going to stay open. Jesus creates this opening for us to have access to God. In that story in Mark, there are echoes of the Genesis story of creation. You know, God's Spirit comes down and creates. And these beautiful words are pronounced. God, each day of creation, when he creates the waters, God says, "And it was good." When Jesus wades into that river, the voice from heaven says, a blessing, "This is my beloved child." Beloved.
Between now and Easter here in 2021, we're reading Mark's gospel together. And one of the things that we notice is that they're just a series of beautiful scenes of our beautiful Savior, like this one. He's waded into the river. The voice from above says, "You are beloved." Beautiful. It's beautiful that Jesus came for baptism. He didn't need to come for baptism, but he came with all those who were broken, all those who were searching, all who knew they needed mercy, all those who felt their mortality keenly, all those who felt crushed by the powers of the world. Jesus always joins us in our brokenness. I was, like many of you, on Wednesday watching news footage out of Washington, and there was the crowd and signs and such, and I saw one sign. It said, "Jesus 2020," and in my gut, at first I reacted like, that's blasphemy, not just because of this, but it's blasphemy to attach Jesus to any particular political cause, especially one like that. But the thing is, I did think that, like, Jesus was there. Jesus comes when people gather and they're expressing their fear, their frustration, their vulnerability, their brokenness. Jesus always comes. It's so easy to condemn somebody in their actions. I think our prayer as Christians should be that January the 6th, it was the day of Epiphany. That's the day that we think about God being a light to all the nations, God being a light in a dark world. We will pray that that day will be, gosh, is it possible? With God, all things are possible. A turning point that will look at our polarization and say, like, enough. That we'll look at the way we have idolized political ideology and we'll say, enough, enough. Can't be that 50% of the people in America are totally deluded and evil and the other 50% are wonderful. It's not such a thing. Jesus came during the day of crushing political powers, King Herod, Caesar Augustus, and part of what Jesus is about is saying that there's another way. God has a higher way. God calls us into a beloved community. You know, when I was watching that video, and then since then, walking around in the neighborhood, biking in my car, went to the store, I realized that all the time we see a bunch of baptized people. A lot of baptized people. They're just all over the place. And the chant through the history of the church has been, remember your baptism. We suffer this kind of amnesia. We forget, like, I'm a baptized person, or we forget what baptism really is about. I was in the grocery store. It was before the pandemic. And I ran into a guy from our church I don't know real well, and he said, I want to call you. And I thought, we're opening up a relationship here. And then he said, we need to get the baby done. And I thought, done, the baby done. It's not getting the baby done. When we baptize, we step into a long line of tradition. Think of all the people that have been baptized. Jesus, the Apostle Paul, St. Francis, Martin Luther King, my grandfather in a cold stream outside Oakboro, North Carolina, you. Jesus said, do this, and so we baptize. And what's amazing is we baptize all ages. I baptized a 91-year-old once, and I baptized infants that are like an hour old and everything in between. The lesson of the infant baptisms pretty clearly is that they're like all of us. When you see an infant, you see somebody who's totally dependent, totally vulnerable, needing nothing but tenderness and love. We say God's grace is for all of us who are like small children, vulnerable, beautiful, precious. Back in the fall, we did some distance baptisms, as they're having to be on these days. Let's watch the video of that.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Friends, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you now, do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to renounce evil and repent of your sin? If so, say we do. Do you confess Christ as your Savior, put your trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord? If so, say we do. And will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, profess their faith openly, and lead a Christian life? If so, say we will. And will you, all the members who are joining us in virtual church and alike, members of Myers Park United Methodist Church, include these families now before you in your care? Will you proclaim the good news and live according to the examples of Christ? Will you surround these families with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others? And will you pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life? If so, let all God's people say, we will.
We will. Friends, let us pray together. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this water and the ones who will receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Hayes Christopher, I baptize. Embry Louise, I baptize you. And Bennett Robert, I baptize. John Peter, I baptize you. Molly Collins, I baptize you. And Taylor Brooks, I baptize you. And then Thomas William, I baptize you in the name of Andrew Lehman. I baptize you. Bodie Finn, I baptize you. Hunter Victoria, I baptize you. Thomas Andrew, I baptize you in the name of Emmeline Grace. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world, so let your light shine before others that they may come to know and glorify God in heaven. Children of God, as you grow in age, may you also grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We rejoice and welcome you to the family of God.
Sisters and brothers, let us pray. Today you give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. We renew our covenant to faithfully participate in the ministries of this church. And now we ask that the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen.
Well, I love that. I love that even during this pandemic season, our church is still growing. Young families are still having children, bringing children for baptism to the church. It's a beautiful thing. You know, John's baptism in Mark says it was a baptism of repentance. If we get confused about repentance, we think that's like when I apologize to God for a boo-boo that I made, or it's groveling or feeling guilty and down on myself. Repentance is, it's remembering your baptism, remembering that in God's eyes you're like a precious child. You're the recipient of God's mercy. Repentance is awakening to your true self. The world says you're a consumer. The world says you're a producer. The world says you got to pick your political ideology, but at our baptismal font, God says, you are beloved. You are my precious child. You are the object of mercy. Remember your baptism. You're made of water. You lived in the water of your mother's womb. You drink water. You wash with water. Boy, we need some washing, don't we, right? We want to be washed of like negative images, negative messages that rattle around inside us or that we hear from others. We need to be washed from toxicity in relationships and out in society. We need to be washed of the idea that you're a consumer, it's all about what you get, he gets the most toys wins. We need to be washed of that and remember who we are. Think about water that's cool. I thought about this water in this pitcher here. That's actually a lot of little drops of water, but you can't distinguish one drop from another anymore. It's all part of the water. That's sort of part of how it is, like in the Christian life. When you're baptized, you're one more drop in the water that is the body of Christ. You can't distinguish the one drop, and you don't even want to. You want to be part of that community. I was thinking a lot this week about my friend, our church member, Richard Harrison, who died last month. I was just so sad. I was biking by McCreesh Place the other day, thought about him, almost felt like, how could you leave us, Richard? He and I have been friends for 30 years. What I said at his funeral is Richard talked a lot about some of what we think of as the political issues of the day, race relations and affordable housing and such things. And what I said at his funeral, though I think is right, is that for Richard, none of those were political causes. For him, all of that was about God. It was just about God. God created the world. We are all beloved by God. Richard loved to use the phrase that Martin Luther King Jr. used, the beloved community. We're called to be part of God's beloved community, to provide beloved community for all people. What a beautiful thing to be part of that. Now, Richard was 64 years old. I'd have to say that's just not enough years. That's just not enough years, but how many years are enough? I remember when Lisa's grandmother Stevens died. I told this to somebody. He said, how old was she? I said, 96. And he kind of weighed that off like, oh, it's not so bad. What do you mean? We love her. She is an important part of our lives. 96 years isn't enough years. I got a phone call the other day from a man in Alabama that I don't really know very well, but I've known his daughter for a long time. She was a Davidson student when I lived up there, and then after I came down here, she would come down here to church, sit up in the balcony. She moved back to Alabama, stayed in touch with me, emailed constantly, watched our services each week. A year and a half ago, she was diagnosed with stomach cancer. She had died the other day, and her dad called to tell me, 41 years, it's not enough years. He told me when she got her diagnosis that she came out of the doctor's office, and she said, I don't know how much time I have, but in whatever time I have, I want to live it for God. And she did. How many years or enough years? I want to go back to that number 96 again. Had a funeral the other day for a 96-year-old last Sunday afternoon. Interesting, I read about him at a website I don't frequent very often. It's called GoHeels.com. I just am not linked to GoHeels.com. I don't really care what's on GoHeels.com. I appeared one other time in a Tar Heel sports publication. My buddy John Kilgo wrote an article called Devil in the Pulpit. He talked about how hard it is. My heart bleeds for him, right? How hard it is for these Tar Heel fans in North Carolina to have the preacher as a Duke grad. And then the whole article is just making fun of me. Like, thanks, John. That was great. So I went the other day to GoHeels.com, and there was an article there written by a guy named Adam Lucas, and it was about the 96-year-old that I buried, who's been a friend of mine all my adult life. He's the father-in-law of Roy Williams. Roy coached the Wednesday that Fred, his father-in-law, died. What Adam Lucas noticed is the way that game went, Tar Heels lost. People on all the message boards were saying, we have a problem with dribble penetration. We have a problem with dribble penetration. Adam said, you want to know what a problem is? It's not dribble penetration. It's when you do what Roy's done during the pandemic, which is to watch the man who's like a father figure to you lose 70 pounds and then die the day of the game. That's a problem. That's a problem. The article said that Roy, 20 times during the pandemic, in the midst of his busy schedule, drove to Asheville to visit his father-in-law. That's not quite right. He drove to Mills River outside Asheville, which is where Fred and Cleo Jones, his in-laws, lived. And it told the story that Wanda, his wife, met Roy, and she brought him to her home for dinner. When they had dinner, Roy said, I've never done this before. Like, well, you never had dinner before? He was from a broken family. He said, I've never had dinner with a family before. I got that. I lived with his in-laws one summer when I did an internship when I was in seminary. I sat down with that same family. I'm from a broken family, and I thought, I haven't gotten to do this before. See, what's the problem? What's the problem? Who are you? People look at Roy Williams and think, oh, successful coach, three national titles, whatever. He's like a kid that needs a family. We're all like kids who need a family. We say, remember your baptism. Remember who you are. You're a child. You're in need of mercy. This is the service every year. I love it. We renew our baptism. Like, we can't be in the building together to come up and touch the water, but we renew our baptism. We'll do that in just a moment. I want to say you can renew your baptism all the time at home and remember who you are when you're washing a dish, when you're taking a drink of water, when you're watering the lawn. Anytime you use water, say, I'm a baptized person. I'm a precious child of God. I'm beloved. I belong. A few years ago, we gave out these shower tags. I'd give you one today if you were here, but you're not here. But if you ask me, I'll get one to you. This hangs in my shower. I've prayed this prayer every day for years now when I take a shower. It says, Lord, as I enter the water to bathe, I remember my baptism. Wash me by your grace. Fill me with your spirit. Renew my soul. I pray that I might live as your child this day and honor you in all that I do. Baptized, beloved. We're going to renew our baptism. We're going to invite you to do it at home. So I want you to go grab some water in a glass, bowl, something. And let us right now be in an attitude of prayer.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good, the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, let's go down, don't you want to come down? Oh, down in the river to pray.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth by water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church, to that beloved community. And so, at baptism, we ask these questions that we all want to answer in our hearts. You renounce the spiritual forces of evil in this world and repent of your sin. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, say, we do. We are. This is who we are. Friends, let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit, and by this gift of water, call to our remembrance the grace declared to us in our baptism. For you have washed away our sin. You clothe us with righteousness throughout our lives, that dying and rising with Christ, we may share in his final victory. Friends, remember your baptism and be thankful.